Hello, this is Hans, sitting here with Anders and Gunilla in Bromma, Stockholm, Sweden. We are going to present our Q2 result, which, by the way, we are very happy to do also, as it's a very positive result. If I start with the agenda on page three is what we're going to talk about the 2018 Q2 result in short, and say a bit who we are and what we do, some financials also, and finally some takeaways, key takeaways. Then we have some session with Q&As. We'll start on page four, the quarters and numbers. We had a revenue of 416 million Swedish crowns, which is actually comparing with 2017, that's +11%. If you measure it in US dollars, it's $48 million, and that's +14%, better than last year, same period. Then we have the EBITA, 32 million crowns, that is 7% less than last year. We have the margin is 7.7%, that's 1.4 percentage points less than last period. We will come back to some more information regarding that. If we look at the first half year on page five, we have a revenue of 790 million Swedish crowns, and that's +8%. If you do the same exercise with the US dollars, it's $94 million, that's +15%. The EBITA in Swedish crowns is 66 million, that's -7%. Also in the percentage is 8.3%, which is -1.4 percentage units. Highlights of the quarter on page six there. It's a good growth and order intake in most segments. Of course, the result is affected by growth initiatives and IPO, some parts also with the euro. Continued strong market in all regions. Uncertain what effect the potential trade barriers can give. US dollars now more favorable than Q1. Euro strong, which gives a negative on costs. We don't see any price increases from our factories, and it seems like there's nothing like that will happen in China whatsoever. NCAB, who we are and what we do. NCAB in short, we consist of 15 companies around the world. We are 366 specialists or employees, and we use 18 factories, and we sell to 45 markets all over the world. We have a vision, the number one PCB producer wherever we are, meaning very much that if we enter a new market, we should be the biggest or number one in that market. For example, in Italy, where we have entered now, our aim is to be the biggest as quick as possible, of course. Our mission is PCB for demanding customers on time with zero defects and at the lowest total cost. We like demanding customers because that's our niche. Of course, zero defects quality is extremely important. If you continue on page nine, we can see what we are trying to say here is that the circuit board is extremely important because at the end product, if something goes wrong, I would say it is about 50% of the cases there is some problems with the PCBAs. 50% of that is from the PCB, the actual circuit board. When you produce the PCBAs, the assembled circuit boards, the circuit board is about 7% of that cost. And at the end cost is only 0.5 to 2%. But it means it's a low cost product, but it could cause tremendous problems and cost for the end producer. So what sort of role do we have to fill? Page 10. Well, we could see, like, if we go to the year 2000, basically there all production, circuit board production, was in Europe and the USA, and the market share was quite big. And then due to many facts, the production moved basically to Asia. And due to the cost reasons, the labor cost became too high in the Western world. So that's why we exist, and that could be seen also on page 11. So we bridge the gap between the factories and all the customers, because still the need for the circuit boards is in Europe and the USA. So we have 1,650 customers, and we aggregate all their needs to the 18 main factories, predominantly in China. I think it's 97% of our revenue comes from the factories in China. So customer, they basically have one supplier that can supply all different type of boards. We have a purchase power that enables us to use 18 factories and be very strong in all different segments, even if it's high-tech, low-tech, or whatever. And we have then 70 people in China focusing on following up on the factories, and especially quality control. Because again, quality is number one. That's so important when it comes to circuit boards, especially in our niche where we are focused very much on industrial sector and high mix, low volume. And all this gives a lower total cost for the customers. Our journey, I mean, the company was founded in 1993, so we celebrate 25 years this year. And we started, the company was founded in Sweden. And then we have added on, the owners at that time, they rather quick realized that we need to focus outside Sweden. So we brought on, one could say, Scandinavia first. And then we went to Europe and brought on Europe. And then 2012, we went over the Atlantic Sea and started up in the USA by two acquisitions. And the latest startup is Italy, which is developing extremely well. So we have kind of grown over the 10 years back about 16%. Now I'll leave the word to Anders, our CFO.
Okay, Anders here. So let's go into the financials, and we can start with the revenue. So we are proud of presenting a good growth in the second quarter. Our revenue increased with 11% compared to last year, and measuring US dollar 14%. And I think it's important to say why we measure US dollar is because most of the invoicing, or at least the revenue prices, are linked to our US dollar. So measuring US dollar is more a correct way of seeing the organic growth. So we are proud to see that it's 14% for the quarter. First half year is 50% up in US dollar. It's also good to see that order intake increased 40% in SEK and 60% in US dollar, which of course is good for the future. Make sure that we continue to grow and have a positive trend. And we see a rather strong and good market in all of the markets we are working, actually. So that is a positive trend for almost all markets. So it's nothing where we can only say that this is one or two markets that are succeeding. It's a general trend in most countries. And then going to profitability, our adjusted EBITDA reached 32 million, more or less the same as last year, or slightly below last year. The reason for the reduced profitability is mainly due to investments in growth markets. We have added about 45 people compared to second quarter 2017. And of course, that is a way for us to make sure that we can continue to have a strong organic growth. So we need to add more people. And in the beginning, that costs money, so it will have a short-term negative impact on the profitability. Italy, I mentioned before, we have seen a very positive growth in Italy, and we have also employed more people than planned in Italy because we see that we have a good traction with the customers. We have very good response from the new customers in Italy, so therefore we decided to add on even more people, and of course, in the beginning, that will cost money. So we are now about 9 people working in the Italian market. We also have some headwind versus the euro, since we have a lot of costs or expenses in euros, and that, of course, will have some small impact. So in total, earnings per share is roughly half compared to last year, but that, of course, also includes the one-off costs for the IPO. If you then go into the segments and start with Nordic, so we are very happy for the good result in the Nordic segment. We show an increase of revenue of 7%, mainly driven from Norway, Denmark, and we keep a very healthy and good profit level. So in second quarter, we reached 17.5% EBITA margin, and that is down due to good growth and a good and improving gross margin. Also in the Nordic region, we are not focusing very much on growth, meaning that we don't employ so many new people, which of course secures that we should have a higher profitability in the Nordic market than in the other segments. But we see a very positive trend, and especially the profitabilities are very satisfied with. And then going to Europe, where we have a little bit different focus. In Europe, we have a rather small market share in most markets. So of course, here it's our main focus is to secure strong growth, which means that we're constantly looking for new people and we are employing a lot of new employees. And that will impact the cost, and we have a short-term effect of that profitability. Anyway, we reached 22% growth in second quarter, which is really good. And it's mainly the big markets like Germany, UK, who are growing. And also we see a very positive development in Italy, which we are extremely happy for. EBITA increased, but in percentage a little bit lower than last year. But it's due to what we said about all those investments in new people that will secure future growth. Going to USA, we had a slight decline in SEK, measured in US dollar. We were about the same level as last year. In USA, we are in a transition period where we are losing some business of high volume, low tech products, but we are replacing that with more high tech products and new customers. So that means that we don't really see a growth in the US right now. But anyway, positive is that we see a lot of increase in the number of new customers, which will be positive for the future. So I think that's anyway, it's a good sign, even if we see a stable or flat development in USA right now. Finally, going to segment East, which is Russia and China. We have a growth of 6%. Actually, we're growing much more in the Chinese market. We're growing a lot in the domestic Chinese market, which is extremely good. We have taken on new customers, EMS customers in China for the domestic market in China. Russia had a good quarter, but Russia had an extremely good quarter revenue-wise 2017, which means that the number doesn't look very good in 2018. But overall, we are very satisfied with the growth in the East segment, and also profitability is okay, around 10%. Going then back to some one-off items during second quarter. We had about 9.2 million Swedish crowns as extraordinary costs for the IPO, which was taken over the result. In addition to that, we had another 20 million Swedish crowns, which was taken directly on equity for the IPO. And then coming back to some KPIs in the balance sheet. Return on equity, 7%. It looks a little bit lower, of course, but then we have to remember that we have adjusted that with 55 million, affected by one-time costs for the Russian tax settlement and for all the IPO costs. If we should compensate those 55 million, then it should be around 30% in ROE. We also had a new share issue in connection with the IPO. We took in another 100 million SEK, which also of course negatively have an impact on the return on equity. Net debt, we have 64 million in net debt, which is rather low, which means that we have 0.6 in net debt versus EBITDA. We have good headroom for future expansion and so on. Solvency is 36% and net working capital is increasing more or less in line with the revenue increase. We don't have any extraordinary increase there.
Hans here again. Page 22, some key takeaways. We had a solid growth and order intake in most segments, while result affected by growth initiatives and Jorunn and IPO. Continued strong market in all regions. Uncertain what effect the potential trade barriers can give or can have. U.S. dollar now more favorable than Q1. Euro is stronger, which gives a negative on the cost, especially in our segment Europe. Our financial target going forward is that we have 8% annual growth, organic growth, and also on the EBITA margin is 8%. Net debt versus adjusted EBITDA less than 2x. Dividend expected to correspond to at least 50% of the net profit. That was not all from us, but for this time it was all from us.
We welcome questions.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you have a question for the speakers, please press zero one on your telephone keypad. The first question comes from Robert Redin, Carnegie. Sir, please go ahead.
Hi. Maybe I could have a couple of questions, maybe one on each business area to start with. On the Nordics business area, basically, strong growth and very high operating leverage, high margins. The only question would be, is this sustainable, the margin in the Nordics business area? Was there something of one-off nature positive in the quarter in the result?
Sure. No, historically, we have been on this margin for many, many years. We have a very solid customer base, and we are also very much into high-tech business in Scandinavia, which is not so crucial when it comes to margin. Definitely, this has been going on for a long time, and we see there will be no changes going forward.
All right. Very good. If I could ask on the next business area, Europe, where growth was very high, 20-something%, but you're adding a lot of salespeople, so the margins were slightly down year-over-year. How do you see that panning out? Will you continue to add salespeople at the same rate in the coming quarters, or will you slow down the rate of new recruitments? How do you think that will pan out the coming quarters?
No, the plan is to continue to add on more people. Maybe not in the same speed as we did 2017, but of course, we are constantly looking for new employees in those markets. We have a very low market share in France, U.K., Germany, Italy, so we see there's huge potential for us, and the only way to grow organically is to add on more people. We will definitely continue to employ more people. That will secure growth.
What would you say that the ramp-up time of a new salespeople is? How long does it take for a newly hired employee typically to reach a good level of sales?
Typically, at least one year, one to one and a half year, and then you start to see some benefit from new employees.
All right.
That's on average, of course.
Okay. Very good. Yeah. So that sounds all right. In the U.S., I mean, you wrote that you're in a transitional phase. Also there, could you talk about, you know, your actions and timing, and when you expect to see sales or earnings picking up there?
If we start with the last question, what we see this year, there will be no big changes. I mean, this year is very much for building the platform to make the transition going through, meaning that we kind of change trade high volume, low tech with high tech, high mix, low volume. We will see some, as we have planned, some changes next year. But everything is going according to plan. I think we have a stable platform. Was that an answer of your questions?
Yeah, it sounds like your plan is for sales and earnings growth in 2019, and
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, very good. And then you had some comment on trade, but on the East business area, I'm thinking the domestic Chinese customers in the East business area. Do you have a split of how impacted they could be by trade restrictions? How much of your volume in China is for customers who sell on to the domestic market as opposed to export?
Oh, that's a bit tricky. I think we split our sales in China from two companies, one in China, renminbi, and one in Hong Kong, US dollar. And typically, the renminbi business is for domestic market, and the US dollar business is for export or for other parts in Southeast Asia. And we see that the China part is increasing slightly more than the US dollar part. So we have seen a positive trend. We have not heard anything about that the restrictions have had any impact so far, and we see even that order intake in July continue in a good way for China. So I can't say that we can see any problems or restrictions there.
Okay, very good. And then one final question. I mean, generally speaking, you had this strong growth, and if we look into the P&L, we see that staff costs were up 20% or so year-over-year. So that corresponds well to your comments, really. But you also have these other external expenses that are up about 30% or something year-over-year. What are those? And is that growth sort of sustainable? Will that continue?
Of course, we have had some additional costs, or will have some additional costs compared to last year as a listed company compared to non-listed. So that have added on a couple of million in Swedish crowns compared to last year. But I think we are now on a much more stable level, and it will flatten out. So the main change happened actually first and second quarter, and then we will be more stable on the central cost. But we have had to add on more people in the finance. We will have some more costs for auditing. We will have some more costs for IR, etc. So there are a number of changes we have been forced to do in the organization, but we don't see any further increased costs in the future.
Okay, very good. Thanks.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you that if you wish to ask a question, you will have to press 01 on your telephone keypad.
I got a question here from the webcast from John Hiltner from Enter Funds, and he asked, for how long do you expect margins to decline year over year, given your plans for sales personnel expansion?
We don't think it will decline anything more. I mean, we have set our financial targets of EBITA of 8%, and we will be close to that for 18, I guess. And then even if we continue to add on 30, 40 new employees every year, it will have less impact on the margin for the future. So our expectation is that we will not go down in margin next coming years. And we believe that we By keeping the financial target of EBITA margin of 8%, we are able to continue to grow with some 30, 40 people every year.
Okay, are there any more questions?
So we have no further question over the phone.
Okay, then we just want to thank you and remind you that our next quarterly report for the third quarter is on the 16th of November. So welcome back then. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.